Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to. Hello, welcome to Richard with Joan and Jerrica, a CBS primetime special. It's Comic Relief and Acast are teaming up to bring your favourite podcasters together. That's arrogant of us to assume we are, for the Red Nose Day podcast mashup. Expect the unexpected, but, you know, there won't be that much unexpected. And don't forget to donate. Funny is power, and whatever you give, your donation can make a difference. Head to comicrelief.com/podcast mashup. To give what you can right now. Thank you very much for that. Now, I'm very excited about meeting my two guests today. They are best known for their podcast, Dear Joan and Jerrica. And it's Joan Damry and Jerrica Demain. Here they are. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Richard.
Sir Richard, I think it is.
Yes.
Well, I
do try to play that down, but yes, I have been.
It's what our publicist told us, which is why we'd agreed to come here in the first place. But yes, wonderful to be here. And what a wonderful cause. I'm not entirely clear what the money goes to, but just to pop in, it's no good giving 10 pence, is it? It needs to be quite a lot more than that. But
we give whatever you can afford, I think.
Well, I think people have saved up over lockdown, haven't they? Apart from ordering everything off Amazon. I'm sure they've got lots of spare pennies.
I imagine that Jeff Bezos has blocked the phone lines and is giving thousands and millions. Bless him. What a darling.
So look, I want to find out all about you. I'm very excited about your very informative podcast. And what I like most about your podcast is that it turns out that most sexual problems are down to the women in a partnership. And I'm very pleased that you are putting voice to that, because my wife often blames me for nearly everything, and I'm glad to know.
So you've had it validated now that it's her fault.
Yeah, it's her fault, and that does make things much better for me. But let me ask you, first of all, to both of you, this is quite a hard question. What's it like being Joan and Jerrica?
Gosh,
it's fabulous.
Fabulous. It's very tiring at times, Rich, as you can imagine, because a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, a lot of people wanting a piece of us in many, many different ways. And we try to give out as much as we can, don't we, Joan? But
we do, but I think you're right. I think it's a very glamorous lifestyle. It can be dangerous. I've had a couple of assassination attempts on my life by an old school friend. And
her dog was shot, wasn't it, Joan? Your dog, luckily fully recovered now, I'm glad to say. They just scraped the paw as they tried to shoot the dog. But
Clive is back on form now. But it's wonderful, really, because we're so loved and we're so respected, and we get to mix with all sorts of fabulous, well, we celebrities. We were talking about Jeremy Paxman earlier. I was having dinner with him last night.
Yes, Derren Brown knocks on Joan's door every fortnight, Joan?
He's desperate to move in, but I've said, I'm sorry, no, not till after lockdown.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, of course, my house is inundated with celebrities too. Alfie Beau is a regular. All of Little Mix, of course, because they know I've got a fantastic singing voice, and as has Joan, incidentally. So we have our moments, don't we, Joan?
We do.
Very modest people, but yes,
that's one of the key things.
Indeed. So that's, I suppose, good. It's wonderful fun, Richard, in answer to that.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. And well, I'm talking of celebrities, that leads me to my next question anyway. Have you ever seen a famous TV animal in real life?
Joan, you have, I believe, haven't you?
Yes, and I believe Richard might have talked about this somewhere along the line, and that's Bouncer from Neighbours. I spent an afternoon with Bouncer when we were touring Australia many years ago, obviously, Derek and myself. And I was a big fan of Harold Bishop. I just felt that we had a lot in common.
Well, there was a chemistry, wasn't there, Joan?
There was.
Really?
I mean, not a sexy man to look at per se.
Not on the surface.
But actually, very nice, very well endowed. And Bouncer was quite similar, actually.
Yes.
And I had a lovely romp about with him. I don't know about you, Richard, whether it got to that with you or what.
No. Well, it was more that I would like Bouncer to comfort me as I died. I haven't actually met Bouncer. Yeah, so I would love to meet Bouncer, but only just in those last few moments of my life. It would be just...
Yes,
and
was it, he's sadly passed away now, Bouncer.
Oh, no. That's devastating. He must have ancestors.
Yes.
I think there's some baby Bouncers around that could probably paw your lovely hair, Richard.
As long as they told me it was Bouncer, I probably wouldn't be going, can I see credentials? So as long as they said, oh, look, it's Bouncer from Neighbours, and then it's licking my face. Probably any dog, or probably just a person.
I mean, you'd be pretty knocked off by then, Richard, I would have thought, with the morphine pumps and what have you. So you'd probably get away with it.
Well, this question it's almost like I've planned this, but I haven't.
No, neither have we, Richard.
We were talking about death with Bouncer comforting me. Have you ever had a near-death experience, either of you or both of you together?
Well, Jerrica certainly has, haven't you? And that's actually, I was the person that saved her life.
Yes, I owe my life to Jo, quite literally, you know.
Jerrica was, she was swimming along, as she does, the Regent's Canal every day, and in her sort of russet tankini. And I didn't know her, but I saw this woman flailing about, waving, and she seemed to have this peculiar... what looked like a mouse's tail coming out of her mouth, which turned out to be a very swollen tampon.
Super Plus, which, as you may know, is pretty sizable and is really...
You probably know from your wife, Richard.
Yes, your wife probably will have experienced this. Ladies of a slightly older age who are still managing to use these tampons. They have this Super Plus. In fact, it was Super Plus, which comes in a black box. The chemists.
So it's not so embarrassing. You can slip it in your bag and pretend it's a packet of JPS or something.
That's it, indeed. And someone had cast off tampon into the canal. I swim with my mouth open, as many ladies do, and inadvertently swallowed down this giant cotton wool contraption. And it got lodged in my windpipe. And I was there gasping and flailing around, and bless her, waving at this wonderful looking lady in high heeled trainers on the towpath. And eventually I managed to attract her attention. She jumped in, good heavens, and you've done your bronze Lifesavers Award, haven't you, Joan?
Yes. I always carry tongs because I like barbecuing. So I managed to sort of pluck it out really with that, didn't I? Yes, we wonder who did that, but she was a murderer, whoever it was, who was trying to toss
it. Then Cardinal took it and dried it out, and it's in a museum now. So wonderful testament to Joan's heroism.
So that's actually how you met as well. I didn't know. I was wondering how you guys had met.
So yes, it's a sort of double whammy story, really.
Indeed.
Right, let me ask you another emergency question. What is your worst experience ever in a hotel?
Well, my one I have spoken about on one of our podcasts, which was, I don't know if you know, Richard, but I only pass a stool every sort of 3 months.
Yes.
I went away on a holiday break to Rye lovely boutique hotel. I don't know if you've been down that way, but it's gorgeous and picturesque. I love all the antique shops and so forth. Anyway, unfortunately, I thought I'd timed the weekend very well for a sexy romp with someone I'd gone away with, which I'm afraid to say again was Jeremy Paxman. And unfortunately, I timed everything a bit wrong. And I don't know about you, but sometimes if you have intercourse, it can shift things about. And it did basically force out my stools, and I ruined the sheets, and I basically ended up having to sort of go out in the dead of night carrying this huge bag of old dried out pellets and running to the sea to try and get rid of them, and it was mortifying.
Someone could have choked on those if they were swimming open mouth through the sea.
Absolutely.
Well, they dissolve very quickly, don't they, Joan? They're mainly sawdust. Joan barely, she just eats a little bit of dry muesli in the mornings and perhaps a cup of herbal tea, pretty much. Is your limit, isn't it, really, Joan? So,
it is.
So it would have dissolved pretty quickly. A bit fizzy if you drop them into water, aren't they?
They are a bit like Barocca, brown Baroccas.
Indeed, like a brown Barocca. My worst experience in a hotel was when I went, I mistakenly booked a holiday with myself and Cardinal, and she, unfortunately, I don't know, she's a little bit unpredictable, as you, I think, probably know, and she decided that it would be fun to basically trash the hotel room. She thinks of herself as a bit of a pop star, and so quite quickly after we checked in, she started taking apart the furniture and throwing it around. And oh, dear me, we had quite an evening. But, the manager was very, very polite, and it was all hushed up. And only came out in the papers a couple of weeks ago because our PR team leaked it as a story because everything got a bit quiet for us. But
the thing is about her, she sort of unpacks it all very systematically, though, doesn't she, when she breaks apart furniture. It's not really a sort of rock and roll. It's not a sort of chaotic, wild...
No, she's got her little toolkit, and she's got all sorts of Allen keys and screwdrivers and what have you. She's quite technically minded, actually.
Which is common in a lesbian lady, isn't it?
Indeed, yes. That's a very one of the first signs, actually. Mm. You know, very early on, she wanted Lego and... Kinex, these sort of games. So one did begin to wonder at that stage. You know, the dollies were all plunged down the toilet and the hair ripped out and covered in red paint. But no, she's a lively girl. And no, I wouldn't change her for, well, I might do, but not.
You can't really, can you?
You can't. I mean, I have tried.
Sadly not. We've tried this with children, but it's not really allowed anymore.
No.
Yeah, I said to my daughter, who's six, I was going to swap her, and she said I wasn't allowed to do that, and the police would come. So they even know their rights.
They do
now.
Such an early age,
aren't they, these days? Yeah.
No, nasty.
I couldn't even threaten her with that. I am in a relationship. I'm very happy with my wife, but I'm constantly looking for
other women.
Just ways that I can stay within the bounds of marriage, technically, but that also have sexual relations outside of marriage aren't cheating. So one of the questions I have for you, and I'm just trying to find out the various different items and objects and that I try to find the loophole with, is sex with a ghost cheating, would you say?
Not at all. I mean, look, I think we should point out firstly, Richard, that for the man, it's not cheating, it's simply getting your needs met. Men have an awful lot more sexual drive and enthusiasm than the ladies, who will often sit back and, think about shopping lists and dining and so on, and aren't really very
involved.
Well, they should, Joan, you're absolutely right. But they also should be focusing at times on pleasuring the man. And I'm afraid far too many ladies after the first week after marriage won't even consider an oral
BJ.
Pleasuring. BJ, as Joan says, and quickly having promised that over the engagement period and perhaps indulged in it a few times, she'll actually shut that door, won't she, Joan?
Absolutely. And I think the thing with ghosts is you can do it anytime, anywhere, can't you? I mean, I certainly had a fab time with one over a sort of month period. And it's gorgeous. It's exciting. It's a sort of omnipotent feel to it, isn't it?
Had some problems, didn't you, Joan, with the ectopic gloop?
Yes, I did. I wasn't sure what it was. I thought the ghost was quite excited. I just couldn't work it out, to be honest.
Yes.
Richard, have you managed anything with a lady goose?
I have not so far, but I just if the opportunity presents itself, I just need some evidence which you have given me. I can play to my wife this particular bit of the podcast. I mean, it's great we're doing it for comic relief and everything as well.
Yes,
but it's very good for me that I've now got that to play.
Yes.
To my wife, and she can't. Well, divorce me if she finds out. So no. If the opportunity presents itself.
Well, that's the thing. It's where to find. Have you seen any around that you like the look of? Or
Not really. I mean, you know, there are some in there. I mean, a lot of them are kind of scary old men, aren't they? Mm. Which, I mean, I suppose if it comes down to it, if that's the ghost I happen to meet and that's the opportunity, I suppose I have to go for it.
Give it a try, I suppose, and see what comes along.
You can still fantasize, as you probably do with your wife, you know, that it's got a different face or whatever, and I'm sure you can find ways around it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, we recommend that you get a picture of your favorite sort of celebrity crush and get a pop down to one of these Pronto Print sort of places, and you can get a mask made of your celebrity and pop that on your wife. Over her face, or indeed over this ghost face,
if it will suspend. Yeah,
indeed. Yes. I mean, the other thing, of course, is if some of these Victorian ghost ladies are very, very, I'm afraid, won't really put out.
Unless they're the prostitute, you know, the lovely busted prostitute.
Oh, they're wonderful with a basket of oranges, wonderful huge milky cleavage.
No teeth, but you don't mind that, do you?
No. Well, it's better in some ways, isn't it, Joan, for many men, but. Yes, so there's some thoughts.
Good. Well, thank you for that. That's very useful for me. Good. How do you sleep at night? Sorry, I may have read that too aggressively. How do you sleep at night?
Well, I have to be sedated by Mahmoud. I have a sort of, it's an almost an anaesthesia, and I have that once a week, which knocks me out for a sort of 18-hour period, and that does me.
She's a woman of very simple needs, really, aren't you, Joan? And she's not greedy. You know, she'll have this 180 an hour and then she'll go. You can go for a couple of weeks then, aren't you, Joan?
Yes.
Just wide awake and dry-eyed a little bit sometimes. Yes. But I have, I'm rather, Cardinal's become nocturnal in this whole ghastly corona era. She started meeting up with other friends online and then eventually in person when she decided she was one of these anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers, and now has huge parties down in our basement. So it tends to be a thumping beat and I can't really sleep. So I tend to sort of snuggle down sort of 8-9 o'clock in the morning, and then I'll wake at about probably 2 and make everybody some food. And then it'll all start up again. But so I don't sleep at night anymore.
No.
Okay. I'm just thinking how rude I've been. I should have asked you this question earlier when I answered it myself. So let's put this in now. Which celebrity would you like to stroke your hair as you die? Mm. You know, Bouncer is taken, obviously.
Mm, of course. Mm. Yes, although I imagine he could do you and then move on, possibly. No, you're not keen on that. I can see from your face.
Well, I think Bouncer should, you know, that shouldn't be something he's doling out.
A heavy bird, do you think, for a young kangaroo?
I think he's a dog.
Is he a dog? I beg your pardon. I think he's Skippy.
He's a golden Labrador.
Skippy would be good.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. Skippy has at least has hands of a sort. So
indeed.
And a little Joey could pop out.
Yes, and a pouch that you could utilise in some shape or form, I imagine. But no, Joan, have you got a preference for? I know you love Leonardo DiCaprio.
I do. I love Leo DiCaprio. But if not him, then Jeremy Paxman, probably. Jerry's got very long, quite bony, sort of slightly withered hands. But there's something sexy and ghostly and eerie, but sort of reassuring. It's very complicated, like the man himself, his brain. It's stunning. So I would love those hands sort of ruffling through my probably bald head by that point. I don't know. And sort of teasing across my face and perhaps coming down to the nipples or what have you.
Mm-hmm. I think mine would probably be Harry Styles, or if he wasn't available, so he's such a lovely looking fellow and lovely hair. So if my hair had fallen out, I could perhaps stroke his. Failing that, to any of the other lads from One Direction, as it was formerly known.
I don't know any of their names, actually.
No, but very nice young men, I think, and to be very happy with any of them, really.
This is an odd question. I think it may have come up from some scurrilous rumour about previous prime minister of ours. I can't remember now. But have you ever put the genitals of a dead animal in your mouth?
Mm. Now, I believe, Jerrica, you had some incident where this happened to you by accident.
Indeed. I have to stress it was absolutely by accident. Yes. And in no way engineered by myself or indeed any of the other parties involved, either animal or human. But yes, Jo, remind me of the, I've gone a bit blank.
I've gone blank with a question. I didn't know if it was the animal's genitals in your mouth or
it's
your
the
genitals
of a dead animal. Yes. So imagine it.
Yes. I've got this back to front because I know you had the incident where you accidentally sat, you were trying to go to the toilet on a long ramble.
Yes.
And this dog that you had taken on, well, you were doing this sort of helping out the old ladies, weren't you, with the dog walking?
That's it.
And you accidentally, whilst trying to pass some urine, the dog passed away
very suddenly. He'd eaten some poison ivy unbeknownst to me. I'd taken it walking in a new, I thought it was a wonderfully wonderful wild area down by the river, and the dog had gobbled up this poisoned ivy. And of course the dogs, it's 10 minutes and they're gone, poor things. I'd hunched down, my legs aren't so good, and so I'd hunched down to pass water, as Joan says. And the dog, poor dog, keeled over. And as it did, it knocked into me. I fell sideways. It lurched forward. It had, as you probably know, dogs, when they pass away, do become quite engorged. This dog's engorged member came shooting into my my oral cavity, mouth. And I was very taken aback and struggling to get to my feet, trying to haul up my trousers. And oh dear, it was quite
a sort of a 69, though, wasn't it?
Because it ended up being like that, Joan. Mm. Yes. I mean, again, absolutely no fault of mine, but the dog's tongue was drooling and hanging out of its mouth. And as I was wrestling and trying to pull up the trews, this dog's licky tongue was found its way somehow into my lower area.
And I think because of the sort of burgeoning rigor mortis, it was sort of wiggling about, wasn't
yes. it?
It
was twitching and frothing and all sorts of movements going on inadvertently, both on my part and on this poor deceased dog's. And oh dear me. And then, of course, some passing walkers saw the whole thing, filmed it on their phone. And next thing we knew, it was all over the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness me. But, you know, I mean, I'm fortunate. I'm quite robust. I don't mind talking about these things. It was an accident. It's very clear from the footage that I wasn't enjoying myself, although I did have a big smile on my face. But again, that was a sort of inadvertent twitch. Yes, quite a story. I want to tell the grandchildren, if I ever have any, because of course Cardinal
fingers crossed.
No,
yes.
I know.
She's
I
still
know.
Looking for the surrogate.
Yes, she's had thousands of applications and she's rejected them all. But there we go.
Good. Well, I thought that was lovely. Yeah. I feel we know each other pretty well. This is quite a personal question, and I know the other questions have been not as personal as this. How sensitive are your nipples?
Oh, Joe.
I say that because mine aren't very sensitive.
Right.
Well, mine are incredibly sensitive, which is surprising because I've had so many breast augmentations and actual nipple changes. You'd think that would all be a bit buggered, really, with all the nerves and what have you. But my latest nipples are these lovely baby chimp ones. I'd had an elderly monkey before and it was just too tough, really, and none of my partners seemed to like it. Now I say that for anyone that knows me well, yes, I'm still married to Ralph, and when I say partners, I'm just talking about medical occasions where I have to have physical pleasure brought to me just for my health. But yes, mine are, I don't know if you're aware, but we know how sort of randy monkeys and chimps are. They're very very alert, aren't they, in all parts of the body. And so yes, mine are almost on continual vibrate, really.
Wonderful.
What about yourself, Jerrica?
Mine, as you know, are pretty, I can't feel a thing on mine. I've had them chomped on too much. Cardinal was born with a full set of teeth. And so although I tried to breastfeed and indeed did breastfeed, she pretty much chomped them off, and I had to have some prosthetic nipples made, and by that time all the nerve endings had gone, so there was no point in trying to connect them up. and resensitized. But yes, I mean, I have to seek pleasure in other ways. Mm. And like Joan, I'm very, very, very happily married. My husband, unfortunately, weighs a lot. And similarly, I have a condition which is called vaginismus. Whereby I need to have intercourse fairly regularly. And due to the length of my vaginal canal, I have to be quite choosy with these fellas. So Mahmoud provides me with names and addresses of lengthy lads, which is wonderful, wonderful. But no, they don't go for my nipples. Those are off bounds, really. I can't feel a thing.
Good. I'm glad that didn't go too personal. I think it was quite a personal question. Yeah. Mm. Final question. One more question before we go. And there's a little bit of a light-hearted one, less sort of murder and what have you in it. Are you ever mistaken for another celebrity, and which one is it if you are?
I believe, Jerrica, for you, it's Davina McCall. You get quite a lot, don't you?
Yes. Absolutely. I don't know. It's funny, isn't it? I think it's my energy and the fact that I work out so much and, you know, I've got this positivity. I think she's a wonderful lady and I'm never sorry to be compared to her.
I love her programmes as well with the reuniting of people. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Absolutely wonderful. Yes, absolutely. And then Joan, of course. Well, I remember once you were mistaken for Harry Styles.
Yes, it was peculiar, but I didn't mind it exactly from the back. And then they said, oh, no, sorry, when they saw my face. But, I mean, Harry's very pretty, isn't he? Mm. He's a lovely guy. And I think it's fascinating, the current thing that's happening with himself and Olivia Wilde. I don't know if you've been following that through Grazia and so forth. But they're together now, and that's gorgeous. And, yes, I'm trying to think, apart from Harry Styles, who I've had.
I'm trying to remember, because I remember somebody rushing up to you. They thought you initially thought you were Jennifer Saunders. Mm-hmm. And then when they got round the front, thought you were Anthea Turner.
Mm. Again, I was happy with both of those. Yes. Fab ladies.
Absolutely.
Lovely hair and lovely attitude. So
yes.
Not complaining. What about yourself, Richard? Have you had any?
Oh, I get Charlie Borman, which I don't really approve of. He's a strange looking man.
I think he's a wonderful fella though, Richard, and rides a motorbike like nobody else, doesn't he?
He does do
apart
that
apart from Ewan McGregor, who's just as good.
Well, Ewan McGregor, they drive around together. There's a few people. James Martin, the chef, sometimes. I mean, I don't know. I've got a beard at the moment, so I'm not particularly looking.
I think he's quite nice, actually, James.
Yeah.
Jimmy Martin. Mm. He's there's something quite sexy about him, and obviously fantastic cook. A bit moody, but...
I love a moody guy.
Which guy isn't moody,
Well, they're very right to be moody. There's all sorts of ghastly women going at them all day and all night. And
well, especially they've got to cook, you know.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift, having a wonderful man who will do some of your cooking for you.
A taxi driver once thought I was Brad Pitt. So, you know,
that's gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah, so I can't.
That's hard to top, isn't it, really?
Brad. I mean, not that I look like him. He thought I was him in his cap. What can I say? You know, and I didn't. I let him think that I was.
Was he calling you by Brad's name?
Yeah, it was very Bradford. Brad. How are you doing? Mm. Yeah. And I think he might have had some mental problems.
Mm. Angela Rippon. Angela Rippon's another one that I get all the time.
Oh, yes, I can see that. Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, she's remained stunning, hasn't she, Angie? Ageless. Lovely legs.
Wonderful
ankles,
legs.
Much like Esther Ranson, who...
Yes.
I'm very good friends with, and
yes, and Judith Chalmers, of course,
another one, fabulous,
Well, look, it's been so lovely to meet you both, and to get this chance to get to know you a little bit more than we have done from the podcast. And
we were wondering what you were doing afterwards, Richard, whether you fancied having a slap up dinner or. What
We're very anti-lockdown and we're just carrying on as per. And I mean, in fact, if you do know Brad Pitt, given that you seem to have some connection with him, that might be fun.
Or,
well, I could put the photocopied face of Brad Pitt over my face.
Could you? Because that would be really nice. And that would be Jennifer Aniston and another female celebrity. And,
yes, absolutely.
I'm very up for that. And I think because we've done so much good work for charity here, no one's going to worry about lockdown and stuff. Let's say they'd forgive us.
Yes, absolutely.
We've done a lot of good work. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
For your valuable time. I know how valuable it is.
Exactly.
We do appreciate that. Mm. And so just thank you to you at home as well. Remember, your donation to Comet Relief is powerful. The money raised by Red Nose Day can help people living incredibly tough lives, take action against domestic abuse, tackle mental health stigma, provide safety to families who need support, and help to give children the best start in life. Please, if you're able, give now at comicrelief.com/podcast mashup or text COMIC to 70205 to give £5 now. Text costs your donation amount plus your standard network message charge, and 100% of your donation will go to Comet Relief, a registered charity. You must be 16 or over, and please ask the bill payer's permission. For full terms and conditions, visit comicrelief.com/podcast mashup. Thanks very much, guys. We'll see you again.
Very well read that, by the way. Thank you. Yes, very good. Yeah. Did you go to drama school?
I didn't. That was a cold read. I hadn't even read that through. I just stuck it down in my book.
Well, you're very, very talented man. God bless you.
I can read out. That is one of my skills.
God bless you. And bye-bye to Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris Evans.
So, bless.
Gorgeous.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The last 12 months have been really difficult and uncertain for all of us. And the most vulnerable in our communities have been hit hardest. Your support will help us fund projects here in the UK and across the world, enabling them to continue with the vital work they do.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.